are in Lower Manhattan.
Blog Talk Radio.
More this year as the price of goods continues to surge. The price per package of ground beef increased by nearly 15% from last year, while the cost of frozen meat packages like chicken increased by nearly 16%. Hot dogs, hamburger, and hot dog buns and other cookout fixings such as sliced cheese, tomatoes, and lettuce have also sharply increased in price. And the CDC is upgrading its monkeypox travel alert due to an increase in cases around the world. The advisory now stands at level 2. Brad Siegel, NBC News Radio.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now for your alternative talk weather outlook. For today, we'll have cloudy skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 59, and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly cloudy, with a low around 48. For tomorrow, the skies will gradually clear up, becoming mostly sunny, bringing us a high near 67 and a low around 52. And finally, for Wednesday, it should be the warmest day of the week with partly sunny skies, high near 74.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street-smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table, and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc. And it starts now.
Yeah, boy, welcome everybody. Welcome to The Psychic and the Doc. I am here with my buddy and psychic, the most incredible psychic medium, the psychic lawyer, all of the above, best-selling author. Just all of that is Mark Anthony. We've got a great show for all of you today. It is fun, it is enlightening, and we have a live call-in show. This is a call-in show. So what's going to happen is Mark and I, we're going to talk about some cool stuff today. Why? Because it's kind of in the air. And then, of course, we'll take your calls, both 1-800-930-2819. And over on Facebook, Jacob, Jessica, Daniel, I'm not sure who else is here, we'll be getting our Facebook on, and there we go. Today's show, Mark, tell everybody what today's episode is called.
Superhero Mania. Dr. Pat and I are going to be talking about superheroes and supervillains. And the subtitle of the show is, what superhero or supervillain would you like to see leading the world? And, you know, we certainly welcome people's calls. And superheroes are really cool because, you know, one of my favorite influences in when I was studying philosophy was Professor Joseph Campbell. And, you know, he's since passed on. But he wrote several books about myths and mythology. And he also spent a lot of time on superheroes. And he said that, you know, people need these heroes. People need to look up to someone who sacrifices his or her life for something bigger than themselves. You know, the Greeks had Zeus and Apollo and Aphrodite and all these incredible gods. And what have we done? We've created Superman, Wonder Woman, Captain America, Aquaman, Spider-Man, Batman. I mean, right down the line. And the cool thing, Dr. Pat, I think about superheroes is not only are they someone that we can look up to and sort of admire, but they all have their flaws.
Yes, they do. And some of them go from a very questionable past.
Yes.
To become some of the most iconic. And the last events they do are so powerful, right?
Right.
That you mourn them. And see, what our pop culture has done is lived out Campbell's vision, Jung's vision. Our pop culture of today, and I say pop culture because I include comic books in that. And maybe comic books are not pop culture, but I will tell you, comic books, Comic-Con, if you've ever been to it, massive. You know, our engagement right now with thing of this nature, we're calling it superhero, but it's beyond that. It is talking about a multiverse. It is talking about characters that have come to life, you know, in our culture, in our world, you know, Hollywood, and not just Hollywood. They're, you know, what's coming right now out of China, what's come out of Japan. I mean, some of these new characters and creations, what's come to the forefront, even the movie Martian has created a sort of platform for us to have heroes that look like you and me. I mean, Jessica Chastain turning that ship around, violating, and you know she got kicked in the can for that, violating every NASA whatever order to go get the Martian guy off the planet. That are those are heroic acts. That's really what we're talking about. But you know, Mark, I got to ask you, isn't there room for both superhero and supervillain in the world?
Well, there has to be, because that's also the balance between light and dark. And you brought up a really interesting point. You said what's coming out of China, what's coming out of Japan. Every culture has some type of superhero. I mean, look at Star Wars is such a perfect example of, you know, the force, the light and the dark side of the force. You know, I always think about, you know, in the original movie when Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi are having the lightsaber, you know, all that. And I mean, I think every science fiction fan knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that was an example of the balance between light and dark. And then the supervillains too, because if you're going to have a superhero, you have to have a supervillain. You know, I mean, look at our world today. You know, we have our superheroes and our supervillains. I mean, you know, I said something a couple a month or so ago about Putin, and somebody wrote this whole thing. Well, I'm not going to listen to the show anymore because Well, all I can say to you is because
I don't even remember what you said.
I said that Putin was a sociopath and an evil person, and I think that I've been proven, I don't know, 100% right. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, Putin's kind of Lex Luthor, you know? He's, you know, Lex Luthor, maybe not quite as smart as Lex Luthor, you know, but, you know, he's this really, really self-centered, ego-driven personality that unfortunately is at the head of a very powerful, powerful machine, you know. And there are other people in our world that may be perceived as superheroes, you know, because in these mythological characters, we see elements of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, even in Greek mythology, Hercules, okay, Hercules is the epitome of the Greek hero, but in a fit of madness, he murders his wife and children. And you know, granted, the fit of madness was set upon him by Hera, the queen of the gods, who was jealous of him. But even though Hercules spends the balance of his life trying to atone for that, he always carries this grief and these recriminations and these regrets. Can that not be said of all of us?
Well, and I think sometimes what happens, Mark, is, you know, we try to talk about the things that weigh heavy in our hearts. And in the process, we are also in the middle of an ever-changing world. And, you know, what I mean by in the process of an ever-changing world, it's going to be hard for me, and this is the only comment I think that I'll make during the show about this particular topic, it's going to be very hard for me to unsee, meaning I've seen it, I can't not see it again. The image of a woman 9 months pregnant in a maternity hospital that was just bombed by Russia in Ukraine. I am not going to be able to unsee that image of blood coming from her womb and then later finding out both she and the child have died. Now, I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, everybody can have their opinion about what's right, what's wrong. But I've seen too much of that in my lifetime. And certainly my dad, who served in World War II, could tell you stories that go beyond this.
Yeah.
But I think what we do on this show is there is no topic that is taboo.
Right.
You know, we will talk about the undiagnosed, untalked about, ridiculous shame of unrecognizing chronic Lyme disease. We will do that. And yet we'll talk about revering some of the most incredible people for doing amazing things in the world, like, you know, taking their lives and coming on this show and doing an interview with us, fully knowing that that person's life will be at risk. Or Greta Thunberg, who I've mentioned before, despite the many threats to herself and threatening to kill her family, will not give up her passion. See, these are all heroes at some level for somebody.
Well, what about Malala? Malala.
Yousafzai Malala. I mean, you know, we almost forgot about her, right? I mean, how many times do you have to get shot in the head, you know, to really say, I'm not
going
to go down?
Just because she wanted to go to school, you know, and she got shot in the head by Muslim, you know, extremists. And I'm not crashing on our Muslim brothers and sisters because, you know, I'd say 99.9% of the Muslims in the world are just like the rest of us.
Killing people.
People. Well, you know, and people that were supervillains attacked this superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And Malala has become a symbol for feminine strength, for knowledge, for the ways of peace and love and understanding coming to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then look at Batman. What made Batman Batman is he was a little boy when his parents were murdered in front of him, and then he finds out years later that the young criminal who murdered them was the Joker and evolved into the Joker. You know, so Batman is a wonderful study into pathos and psychotic behavior and anger. I love when there was a recent movie when Batman joins all the other DC comic heroes like Superman and Flash and all this, and Batman gets banged up, and one of the other superheroes says, "So what's your superpower?" And he says, "I'm rich."
Okay. And you know, that's part of it. But, you know, today, I mean, honestly, Mark, you and I have decided to do a show, this show, where if you listen to our opener, that's what we're going to talk about. Because let's just be realistic. You know, doing a show like this where you come on and you help people get connected to their loved ones is taboo in large parts of the world.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, this show in particular runs its course because we're not afraid to take a risk with a show like this. See, well, that's part of the conversation. You know, we're not hypocrites walking down a pathway and making a statement without taking certain risks ourselves, right? This show would be banned from at least 6 states in the United States.
Well, unfortunately. And, you know, a number of my friends who are mediums, we were talking about this very topic, and we're talking about the X-Men. Okay, now, first off, you know, I'm not a superhero, and we were not saying that we were superheroes, but what's the premise of the X-Men?
That
there are people that have a genetic anomaly that gives them powers, or let's call them abilities. I don't like calling it power. Abilities that frighten other people and that other people don't understand. You know, so I think that's all right. So, Dr. Pat, I have to ask. I think I know the answer. Who is your favorite superhero?
I will say that I am a comic book fan from way back before I could literally read and write. And, you know, growing up, I've had several that I've related to. But I have to tell you that not only do I really admire this particular superhero, but I also admire the actor and what she stands for, and that is Black Widow. Black Widow, if you read the comics or you follow it through, and you also follow Black Widow through the entire Avenger series, you see her transform, and I don't want to give it away because I don't, if people haven't seen Endgame, I don't want to give it away, but she transforms so much that she makes the ultimate sacrifice. So she goes from a character that is a spy, that is mistrusted, right? What are her superpowers? She knows how to trick people into getting them to do and say what she wants. So when you watch a character like that evolve, you have a sense of it. So she becomes sort of, for me in this moment, that person that when you think about her, and then you look at the actor who had to become her own superhero to battle Disney, say, kind of interesting, Scarlett. And this is a woman that wasn't picked for that role. She was the second choice to Emily Blunt, but Emily Blunt was tied up. And so I think when I think about the world we live in today and the sacrifices so many people have made, Mark, during COVID.
Yeah.
So many losses, so many people that went to care for other people, so many people like that character. I think there's something endearing about that, even though she had a very ugly beginning. Who's your favorite? And then we have some people on the bones, too.
There's so many. I mean, I've got so many characters from Harry Potter and everything, but I, you know, I'm going to say Aquaman. You know, because I've lived by the ocean my whole life, and Aquaman symbolizes environmental protection, a love for nature and the ocean. And, you know, it sickens me because I've seen how humanity treats the ocean like it's a garbage dump. You know, you just dump all sorts of things. I remember when I was a kid, the U.S. military sank a ship off the Florida coast filled with nerve gas containers because they figured that'd be get rid of it. It's like, okay, so it's okay to dump nerve gas containers into the ocean. And now we're seeing how we're killing the ocean and how that's affecting us. So I always like Aquaman because he's like the big, tough, you know, ocean dude that kicks butt. But I have to admit, I always like Professor Snape from Harry Potter because see, the whole thing, well, you know, I think Alan Rickman, I mean, he was just such a great actor, but you never knew, was he good or was he bad? And J.K. Rowling did such an excellent job of crafting the character to have that balance of light and dark. It's kind of like at the very end when Darth Vader at the last moment embraces the light within him, you know. So, but anyway, I'd say Aquaman and there's a whole myriad of others.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what we want to hear from people today is, you know, have you been able to find the superhero within yourself? You know, have you been able to find those things that will remind you on some day that there are things that can be done? There are ways that we can do it. You know, Sharon, Dr. Sharon Martin, I am not going to speak for her, but she is a medical doctor, and you know, she has part of her own history. And next Wednesday, at our 11 o'clock show, she is going to do a stone blessing, and we're videotaping it for the Ukraine. Why?
Awesome.
Think about that act for a minute. What acts contribute to our view of people that are superheroes in some way? I mean, here she is. She's a medical doctor. She's taking a position, but she wants to bless this. And her stone blessings, by the way, oh, fasten your seatbelt. But what is it, the call to action that we all want to have to create that world that we all want to live in, that we want our children to live in? Today's show is to help you find the superhero within you. That's what I think. Jacob, do we want to go to the phones? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that sounds great today.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, we've got Carly calling in from Idaho. Hi there, Carly.
Thank you. Hi, Carly.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us okay?
Hello. Yeah, I can hear you.
How can we help you today?
I was just calling in to see if anyone has any messages for me.
Well, let's see. Carly, I'm getting, I'm actually getting like four different energies connected to you, but there is a female stepping forward, and this woman was elderly when she passed. She could have been in her 80s, and the thing is, I'm getting that prior to her passing, a diffuse and confused mental state. This feels very much like a dementia. Dementia, Alzheimer's reads very similar to me. And also that, she was very confused. She kept losing her way. A lot of fluid retention. I'm getting the swelling of the ankles. And I'm also feeling that with her passing, it wasn't a big surprise that she was going to pass because I'm getting this fluid buildup in the chest. Now, obviously, that can be pleurisy, mm-hmm. pneumonia, but it could also be congestive heart failure because they all feel very similar. Does any of this make sense to you?
Yeah, probably my grandma.
Okay, would this be your grandmother on your mom's side of the family?
No, my dad's.
Interesting, because I keep getting pulled over at your mom's side of the family. But let's work with this spirit and see what she wants you to know. Is your mom here in this world, or is she on the other side?
No, she's on the other side.
Okay, so we've got your paternal grandmother, and I'm getting pulled to your maternal side of the family. The woman that I'm getting pulled to on the maternal side, which could be your mom, she's telling me that you have been neglecting your health immensely lately, and she said that it's not like you do it all the time. It's sort of kind of you fell off the wagon, and I keep tasting soda like Pepsi, Coke, all these really sweet, sugary drinks. Now, that could mean you've been drinking a lot of them or you're trying to avoid them, but I'm getting all these very sugary drinks. Does any of that make sense to you?
I'm trying to avoid them.
You're trying to what? To get rid of them?
Okay. Yeah, to avoid them.
Avoid them. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's good because that's the advice that your mom's giving you. She also has shown me a whole plate of Brussels sprouts. Okay. Love them, hate them. Personally, I like them. Some people freak out over them, but I'm getting the whole Brussels sprout thing. Love them, hate them. Makes sense to you in any way.
Any vegetables, period, I really don't care for. So that's probably what that is.
So what do you think mom is telling you?
To just eat healthy, I guess.
I think you have interpreted that correctly. Basically, the message that she's giving you is continue avoiding the sugars, the junk food, and learn to like the vegetables. She said because this is affecting you not only physically but also emotionally and mentally. Because she said that you had like this zigzag up and down with your moods and depression. Dr. Pat, anything?
Let me just tell you, there's a very clear message in this, and it's a hard one because I had to really love to do it. And that's vegetables. But there's something beyond the vegetables. So a lot of times we don't like eating vegetables, and it's really difficult these days to really get vegetables that have the nutrients in it. So the underlying message is about nutrients. You see what I'm saying? like what Mark was bringing forward and what he was talking about, it leads to nutrients. So when you're trying to eat healthier, it sounds like you're off a little bit in balance in what you're eating. And this is not diet conversation. Uh-huh. This is about nutrition, right? And so you have to figure out how to get those greens in. For me, I have a company that I get capsules that have green nutrients in, organic green, because I can't always do it. Right. So you have to think mm-hmm. about and get creative about how you're going to do it, because I don't really see you cooking up them Brussels sprouts. Right.
Yeah, I know.
So you have to think about how to get them in your system. The other part of this to think about is if your gut is off, it's not going to process them well. So you have to get gut healthy. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And there are so many people you can work with to do that. But if that's a message coming from your mama, I would think that would be something you may want to think about, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, out of every single thing that Mark could have brought through, you got that. Usually, Mark helped me with this. Usually when we get these messages from our peeps, to us, they are seeing something that we are just not seeing.
Oh, absolutely.
Mark, right?
Absolutely,
so
yes.
This is not like just a, you know, like airy-fairy kind of message here. This is a message that out of everything that could have been said, seriously, this one?
You know, and that's a good point, Dr. Pax. A lot of people go into a reading with what they want to hear and who they want to hear it from. And spirits mm-hmm. know what we need to hear. And the thing is, they being electromagnetic energy, you know, my term, the electromagnetic soul, they run a scan of you. And they see in your body where there is energy disruptions, which could be illnesses or potential problems. And the thing is, green foods take the energy of the sun, okay, and they're transmitting that into you. And a lot of people don't like greens.
Yep.
You know, I grew up in a family that we ate vegetables. And it's funny, talking about superheroes, I'm thinking when I was a kid, I loved Popeye. Well, what does Popeye always eat? Spinach. So I used to eat spinach because Popeye liked it, you know, and the way my mom made it, it was delicious, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of,
garlic,
yeah, a lot
and
of
oil.
People don't like it, you know. But the thing is, that's what we're designed to eat. That's what's good. And that's what your mother is telling you, because mm-hmm. the greens are going to help you and start feeling better, and that's going to possibly, like Dr. Pat pointed out, possibly impact you emotionally, mentally, mm-hmm. physically, and then as well spiritually.
Yeah.
So, you know, because we're integrated beings, and that's just, you know, what we eat, garbage in, garbage out, good in, good out.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a favorite superhero?
Yeah.
I would say Wonder Woman.
All right, we got you on record. Good one. Good one.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
Thank
so much.
You.
And remember, the way to really
Thank
beef
you
up
guys.
Your vegetables, garlic and oil. That is the like that. That's like it, garlic and oil. Hey,
oh my
let's
God,
take a short break, right? When we come back, put up another, almost my favorite, on my background. And when we come back, we're going right to the phones, everybody. Donna, hang in there. We'll get you up here. Emily, we'll get you up here. We'll be right back. Right, Mark? We'll be right back.
Absolutely. We are coming back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to The Psychic and the Doc. I'm Mark Anthony, the psychic, and I'm here with my amazing, fantastic superhero co-host, Dr. Pat Basile. And we are talking in tonight's show about superheroes and what they reveal about us and why we have this need for superheroes. And on the break, we were all talking, you know, our producer, Jacob, said how much he liked Green Lantern. Our producer, Rocky, she's a Wonder Woman fan. I mean, we've just been talking superheroes. So we're taking calls from listeners, 1-800-930-2819. I'll be doing readings. Dr. Pat will be giving inspirational, intuitive, street smart insights. Call on into the show. And be prepared to reveal who your favorite superhero is or super villain is.
And I only have one thing to say to Jacob.
Hit me with it.
I love Green Lantern, too. I only wish that Ryan Reynolds loved Green Lantern.
I was, you know, I wasn't going to go there with that, but I couldn't agree more.
I had to go there. The comic book just rocked, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. I like Ryan Reynolds, but, you know, he didn't do it quite justice there.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about my latest Ryan Reynolds superhero that I really do like, because we're going to go to the phones first. Let's go.
All righty. We've got Emily calling in from Indiana. Hey there, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hello?
Hello, Emily. Hey, Emily.
Hey, how can we help you today? Welcome to the show.
I was wondering if I had any loved ones trying to reach out.
Yes, you do. You've got a male energy coming through. Now, what's interesting, he could be on your generational level, which could be
here,
like...
Here, let me turn this up a little bit. I can't hear you very well.
Yeah, make sure you turn off any speakers.
You should actually turn your the radio down or off, because you'll hear it through the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just went into the other room.
Okay.
Okay, you're getting a male energy. I'm getting a male energy coming through. It could be on your generational level, which could indicate brother, cousin, friend. He may be on the one just above you, which could mean like uncle, parent, but it feels like he's so close to you. And what I'm getting with him is this massive impact sensation. Now, the massive impact sensation indicates to me that this gentleman died very suddenly or abruptly. I'm tasting a lot of blood. I'm feeling head trauma as well. So this could be an accident. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. He's talking about gloves, G-L-O-V-E-S, gloves. Is there something about him like he used to wear gloves or worker's gloves, or is there something about you and gloves that would make sense
like
in any
gloves,
way?
Gloves, like G?
G-L-O, yeah,
yeah,
glove,
yeah.
Like a glove that you put on, like a, you know,
yeah,
like a leather glove, silk glove, whatever glove.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that one, but I know the only thing that comes to my mind with a male, and you said head trauma, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
A friend of mine that was close to me a while back had shot himself in the head.
Okay. Okay. Well, he's talking about gloves, G-L-O-V-E-S. Now, that could mean putting on a glove, but it could also mean fits like a glove. Okay, so glove could have a literal or a metaphorical interpretation with this. He said, though, that you're off balance. Off balance. Now, that's interesting, because in the previous reading, we got something similar to that. And this is what I refer to as collective consciousness communication. And in a spirit communication session, oftentimes there is a commonality between the spirits and the people that they're communicating with. But he keeps saying that you're off balance and you feel that your future is unsteady. It's unclear, and almost that you're afraid. Is there something going on with your career where you're not sure of? Because it feels like, he said that you feel like you're walking right into a dark room and you're afraid you're going to stumble and fall over. That's how you're looking at the future. Does any of that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, let's see what he has to say. Interesting. He said, let your angels be your guides. Let your angels be your guides. Now, that is very interesting because, you know, I mean, if you watch the show and Dr. Pat knows, I'm not an, you know, quote, unquote, airy-fairy psychic. They're your angels and Native Americans. I only bring up something if this is what I'm getting. Now, do you have some, like, connection to angels or maybe images of angels? Or better yet, what do angels mean to you?
My mother.
Okay, in what way?
I always call her my guardian angel.
And
she's
in spirit?
She passed away when I was really young.
Okay, so let your angels be your guide. So that's very interesting that you've always felt that your mother has been your guardian angel, and that's because she is a guiding influence in your life. She's also saying now she's stepping in, that the thing about you is that you have an innate sense of right and wrong, moral, immoral, what is good and what is negative. And that's the whole point from this young man and the spirit of your mom is for you to trust that insight. Mm-hmm. You must trust your innate sense of what is right, not just in the positive, negative sense, but what is right mm-hmm. for you. Dr. Pat, what's your take on this?
A couple of things. First of all, so sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
You know, I know what that's like. You know, my mom committed suicide, and one of the women I work with in a program that I mentor women pulled out a gun one day, and that was it. So I there are no words, really. I'm really fumbling for the words to express that. You know, but I know for my mom, it was really difficult for her to be in this earth skin. The minute you mentioned gloves, I'm sorry. I went right to a motorcycle. I don't know why. I don't know if you have any history of motorcycles. I don't know if you ride them. I will tell you this, though. In order to ride a motorcycle, you have to have extraordinary balance. You have to be sharp. And, you know, beyond the metaphor.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I lost you for a second.
Okay. So did you hear what I said about gloves and motorcycle?
I can barely hear you. It sounds like you're muffled.
Not sure why that is, Jacob.
Well, I think that's going to be on her end. We're coming through loud and clear.
Yeah.
I can barely hear her.
Okay. Well, that's kind of weird. But
can you hear me?
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I heard the word gloves, I went right to motorcycle. I had a picture of a motorcycle glove. I don't know if anybody in your family rides. I don't even know what that means to you. Yes, they do. Okay.
Yes.
What does that mean to you, motorcycles?
The young man you guys are talking about, used to come to my house and ride dirt bikes and motorcycles.
Did he wear big motorcycle gloves? I mean, most of us that ride dirt bikes, we don't like to wear gloves, although I learned it really
hard. Yeah, he would borrow a pair of my ex-boyfriend's motorcycle gloves. And that was like not too long before he passed away. And when he passed away, he left. I was one of the three people that he left a little like model car set for in his goodbye note.
Okay. How are you doing with that?
I'm doing pretty well. It was a little over a year ago when this happened.
Still not a long time, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what the message of the glove is, but I will say usually when Mark has something like that happen, it's an endearing moment. You know, that experience with him coming over, that had to be a happy place, right? You know, riding motorcycles, coming over was a happy place. Sometimes my sense is we carry so much grief around those that left us, and we remember the way they left. We forget the happy moments. And I wonder if you could hold on to the happy moment. Because I'll tell you, there are two things in the world that make me smile, like outside of people, right? Riding that motorcycle and playing table tennis. So hitting a ping pong ball and riding a bike very fast. But I grew up in a motorcycle family, and so if you can imagine the joy that he felt at that moment, sometimes it's hard to hang on to that, but that if you can hang on to that energy of that, right? You see what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
And I was wondering if anything was coming in from my mom.
Well, yeah. That's what she said about the angels. Is follow your innate sense of what is right for you. That's what her message was. Now, one of the reasons that Dr. Pat and I are doing this show is, and one of the reasons I like working with Dr. Pat, as the medium, I'm presenting the evidence, and she has the ability to be the objective observer. And she said, well, you know, gloves make me think of motorcycles, okay? And then you said, well, yeah, my friend rode a motorcycle, okay? And so because a lot of times when the information comes through, you may not immediately recognize it. Now, I'm thinking, why do you wear gloves on a motorcycle? That is for protection, right?
It's also for better balance.
Oh, my gosh.
It's also for better balance. So let me, that's why I brought it up. You can ride a motorcycle without gloves and probably take the short run and do very well. But after a while, you lose control. Gloves will help you grip. And so especially if he was a dirt bike rider, the hairpin of a turn, right? Follow me. The hairpin turn, when your knee is almost touching the ground and you're doing that, the difference between wiping out and staying upright are those gloves to help you make sure you're controlling, right? And so this really is a message for you to understand that there's something that is available to you to strengthen your balance, to strengthen who you are in the world. There's something available to you. But it must come from that happy place because that's what motorcycle riding was for him. And when you bring in the angelic message from Mark, you have a lot of things going for you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, I can see these motorcycle gloves like I got them on me now. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Boy, it's getting time to ride, I'm just telling you. I got two new knees, so look out. Jacob, who do we have? Now, that message had to come from him to me. Jacob, who do we have next?
Yeah, next up we've got Donna Kennedy calling in from Missouri.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
I'm okay.
Hey, how can we help you?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You might have to turn off your radio.
Okay, just a second here.
Radio.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you all along.
Hello?
Yes, we've got you. Jacob?
Donna, we can hear you. You turn off your radio, stay on the phone. All right, Donna, what's going on?
Okay, well, I have elderly parents that I have to take care of. And over the last few years, I've had more anxiety because of all the stuff going on in the world. And I would just want to know if you see anything that might be out in my future, the near future, or things that you might see that's going to be okay, or things I might want to...
Well, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a medium, okay?
Okay.
And I think, though, that your question is a very good question for this particular show. Because Dr. Pat said this is about finding your inner superhero. And what did your question incorporate? It's like your future, anything good for you. So there's an element of uncertainty where you're doubting yourself. Dr. Pat, I'm giving you this ball, and you're going to run with this one.
I want you to ask your question again. Can you ask your question again very clearly? Because I know there's an answer in it.
Okay, well, I have elderly parents, and they're going through some stuff, and there's just a few of our siblings, there's just a few of us that's doing all the running around and trying to take care of what needs to be done. And then over the last few years, because of the pandemic and because of the way the world was, I've had a lot more anxiety.
Yeah.
And I was just wanting to know if things are going to work out, things are going to, progress, or things like that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you exactly. So here's really what I want you to pay attention to, if you can, for the moment. And you can still hear me okay, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my mic. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. The only way this is going to turn around for you is if you do something extreme to do and take care of yourself. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? All of that other stuff will get worked out. It'll all get worked out, but it will not be able to get worked out without you seeking some third-party help because anxiety, and you're right about the world. You're so right about it, right? And then now you're taking care of family. So I'm going to give you two thoughts. One, you have to put yourself first right now and find out how to get yourself some relief, okay? I mean, we all have our ways to do it. I have a brain tap I bought. I use my brain tap. It's a great device. But you have to find that way for yourself to get some help, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? Because it may
get better. Well, sometimes I keep seeing, like, those numbers, like 111, 555,
yeah.
333.
That's
so
right.
I was wondering if those numbers are trying to tell me something.
Yeah, they are trying to tell you something. They're trying to tell you that you have to lean in to the energy of that to get the insight, and anxiety will block out whatever those messages are. You see, it's very hard in an anxious state to receive. Like, imagine Mark and I coming onto this show and neither one of us preparing ourselves emotionally for this, right?
Right.
But number two, there's another more practical thing I want to say to you, okay? You ready?
Uh-huh.
Having gone through what you just explained, when there aren't enough resources in the family, you have to think about hiring and getting other help. Now, every time I say that, people say, oh, my mother will never. No, wait a minute. Maybe you have to get some help to get somebody to clean your house because you don't have any energy. You understand what I'm saying is you have to really look at this outside of the box you're in, because you can only give what you can give. And if there aren't enough resources to do what needs to be done, you have to look for those other resources. If you're being pulled in a million directions, what can you give off to somebody else to do? The best decision I've made so far this year is getting somebody to cut my lawn. I'm just telling you. I mean, honestly, the thought of not having time to cut my lawn because of other things that I want to do, that was such an anxiety moment. People are thinking, seriously, Pat, your lawn? That's just one thing that starts to pile on. So can you think of ways that you can offset some of these other burdensome things for somebody else to do? Can you think about that?
So far, I do have someone come and clean my house.
Good job.
And I have somebody cut my grass. But
good job.
I feel like I have to make arrangements and do things, and I feel like I'm not going to make the right decision sometimes.
Now we got it.
There we go.
Bingo. Bingo.
Yeah.
That's where you go to spirit. So here's what I want to say. I'm going to leave you with this. You will make the perfect decision, even if it doesn't seem like the perfect decision, when you come to a place of peace and you spend some time, whatever your sacred time is, and you say, I don't know what you believe in, but let's say you believe in God, right? And you say, God, what is mine to do here? God, what is mine to do here? You will get an immediate answer. Then you have to trust it.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to get guidance in this.
I was going to tell you that my superhero for this evening, I'm going to say it's Aquaman, because I'm an Aquarian.
I think you do it like on Jason Momoa. I think that's maybe what's going on with that. But no, Aquaman, that's fascinating. I love that. Don't you love your good Aquaman, right? Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. But don't forget, you have superhero power within you, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Boy, I've been there. Jacob.
Go ahead. Yeah, if we have another caller, let's go for it.
Yep, sounds great. We've got Susan calling in from Saskatchewan. Hi there, Susan.
That's in Canada.
Yeah.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's me they're having a hard time hearing. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. This is Susan from Canada.
Hey, how can we help you today?
Great. Well, you know, I'm so glad I got through to both of you. I love the program. Read so many of Mark's books. I'm going through the hardest time of my life right now, and I had the biggest loss of a death last year, and I have huge decisions to make right now in my life. just going through a very terrible time in all aspects, and spirituality is what's getting me through this time. But I just wondered if, if Mark has any sense of maybe who I lost, if they could come through, if they have any messages.
Okay, hold on, because we're running low on time, so let me get right to it and realize that sometimes the person you want to hear from the most may not be the first one to come through. I'm getting a male energy coming through, and obviously connected to you, and I'm getting this very strange sensation in my chest, in my diaphragm, and in my stomach. It's basically the whole torso and stomach area. I just feel this crushing sensation. Now, that doesn't mean that he was crushed, but I'm getting this very, very painful sensation. Okay, yeah, and it's really, really impacting the stomach, the intestines, his colon area. And this poor guy, he was in a lot of physical pain prior to passing. I'm also getting a nauseated sensation, which is an indicator that he may have been having difficulty eating and or holding down food prior to passing. But sometimes nausea is a cancer indicator as well. And boy, everything hurts. Now my head's pounding. So there was high blood pressure. There was all of this going on. Does any of this make sense to you?
Yes, all of it does, Mark.
Okay.
Yes,
Okay, no, that's right. Makes sense.
Can I tell you what happened to him?
Because I want to get some messages for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, this was my 26-year-old son that passed away last year of an accidental fentanyl overdose.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's the whole
What you're saying.
Yeah.
And he was vomiting a few days before, I guess he had a relapse, and that's what got him was low tolerance when you relapse with the terrible substance that it is, yes.
Yes, yeah, fentanyl, we could do a whole show just on fentanyl.
We will.
We definitely have to. He keeps holding up a lighter. And it's not just a little flame, it's a big flame. Now, maybe he used to use a lighter and all that, but this is a flame which is representative of wisdom. And he's explaining to me that, Mom, I now have the wisdom that you were always trying to impart upon me. He said, you think that I wasn't listening, but I hear you now. This is very important. He also, focusing, he says, one or two places. It's as if you could be moving or something with you, and there's one or two places that you can go. It's like you're at the fork in the road, but it actually feels more like physical locations. Are you thinking of moving or relocate? I mean, there's this whole relocation moving thing.
Oh, you're so right on, Mark. I have to move, and I'm so fearful of moving. I just moved from one city to another city last year, and now the city that I'm in, I have to relocate from the condominium that I'm living in right now to most likely an apartment, which I dread, and I have a dog.
Hold on. He's giving it to me. I want to get it to you because it's coming in real quick. Don't be afraid. And that light, it's so interesting because in the prior reading, we had to let the angel be your guide. This is let the light of your wisdom be your guide. He said that don't be afraid of moving. Don't be afraid of moving. And he said that it's interesting. You may have to go in an apartment, but it's almost like a one-floor condominium on the first floor. He's talking about you being on a single level. Or it's more of a condominium that you're renting. Does that make any sense? Or that you'll be going to?
Well, I'm in a condominium at the moment, and wherever I move to, I'm hoping to be on the main floor.
Okay.
And hopefully.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he's telling you don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Dr. Pat, I know we're running out of time, but I know she needs your guidance as well.
I'm just going to tell you, I mean, also that light represents that candle light, and there's nothing that illuminates a dark room than a candle. And so that's what you have to do. You have to illuminate your mind, because your mind is telling you, I'm going to be afraid. I'm not living in the world of possibility, and you don't want to carry that forward. I mean, I had a situation last year where I had to move, and the series of events that happened to get me in the home I'm in today, you can't plan that, and it was so unexpected. But I'll tell you, I shifted in my – I had to say, 14 years in a great place, I'm never going to find anything. And the minute I changed that, everything changed. So that's what I want to tell you to work on. That's the illumination you need. That's what light brings.
Right.
If you create that shift and create your own mantra, the perfect home shows up for me. I mean, if you create your mantra and just change where you are now, because fear will drive you to a place and you will miss seeing what the possibility is. That's what fear likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the great shadow. It allows us to not see the possibility. Okay, can you do that?
Yeah, sure. And fear is false evidence appearing real. Isn't that cool?
F-E-A-R. That is very cool. Yes, it
I
is.
I love what you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, also to quote one of my newest favorite movies, fear is the mind killer, but doubt, this is my quote, doubt is the dream killer. You see what I'm saying? And you got fear and doubt working the 1-2 punch on you. Okay.
I didn't catch the last part, Pat.
Yeah. Fear is the mind killer, and doubt is the dream killer. Get rid of both of them.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Wonderful.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Jacob, thank you so much. Mark, thank you so much. We will be back.
Same psychic and doc time, same psychic and doc station next week.
Yeah, boy. Everybody, we'll see you. Thank you for tuning in to the Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems, yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on the Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Good morning and happy Memorial Day to you all. It is now 11 a.m., and as we take a break between these 2 hours of Transformation Talk Radio, I'm Nate here in Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. Currently, right now, skies are starting to clear up, but shouldn't see too much clearing as it'll remain mostly cloudy throughout the day, and temperatures will climb up to around 60 degrees by later on this afternoon for your Memorial Day barbecues. More information will come in the weather outlook after the news break for the next few days. And on the second hour of Transformation Talk Radio, we keep it with the Dr. Pat Show. And in this hour, our guest will be Daniel Moeller to teach you shamanism through non-appropriative methods, including healing exercises, spell work, divination techniques, and more.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brad Siegel. Texas Governor Greg Abbott spending part of his holiday in Longview this morning, delivering the keynote address at a Memorial Day observance.
What happened in Uvalde was a horrific act of evil.
Abbott paid tribute to the students who were looking forward to the holiday weekend and summer vacation. He urged Texans to keep in your prayers the families of the victims, adding that healing will take time. The families of those killed in last week's Texas elementary school shooting will begin holding funerals this week. The president of the Texas Funeral Directors Association says the first funerals will be held tomorrow. He added he plans on helping in any way he can. Other funeral directors from around the state have also stepped up to provide assistance to the only two funeral homes in the city of Uvalde. Hundreds of veterans and active military members are honoring Memorial Day at the USS Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York City. Vice Admiral Guy Robinson says allies join Americans in honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice.
And acknowledge the immense debt we owe them, their families, and those they left behind. This is the day we pay homage to all those who served in the military and did not come home.
It was the museum's first in-person Memorial Day ceremony following a three-year hiatus because of the coronavirus pandemic. President Biden says we honor those who gave it all to defend the idea of America on Memorial Day. He mentioned today is the day his son Beau passed away from brain cancer years after serving in Iraq. The president said those who died serving chose a life of purpose, adding we are free today because selfless Americans laid down their lives to protect those they care about. He made those comments at Arlington National Cemetery. Near record numbers of Americans are on the move this weekend. TSA checkpoints have averaged about 2 million travelers daily for the last 7 days. That's approaching pre-pandemic levels from 2019. Brad Siegel, NBC News Radio.
5X480, Dayton's B100 V-Belt, one of the many parts Granger carries. It's also the item that helped Rob carry the day. The job was on hold, deadline fast approaching. But a quick search on Granger.com and Rob found his part. And with same-day pickup at his local branch, he and his crew got the job done, safely and on time. Get supplies and solutions for every industry with real-time product availability. Call quickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. Plus, it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept, and to help you get almost 30 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the science. All you have to do is sleep. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 special edition smart bed, Queen Helm, $19.99, plus free premium home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
And now for your alternative talk weather outlook. For today, we'll have cloudy skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 59, and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly cloudy, with a low around 48. For tomorrow, the skies will gradually clear up, becoming mostly sunny, bringing us a high near 67 and a low around 52. And finally, for Wednesday, it should be the warmest day of the week, with partly sunny skies, high near 74.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We have a great show for you today. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm joined by a couple of my sidekicks here today, Jacob and Benny, both of my producers, making this come to you like easily, like super easily.
Hey, how's it going?
That's way better to say.
Well, you say it to both of us, Pat. Who's supposed to go first? That's so. Are you
playing me back? What is all that reverb going on in there? Oh my God, this is like. What is that?
That's not us, is it? Are you getting reverb? Are you serious?
I love it. Oh. That was so cool. It was like I said it, and then it like played back. And then I said, oh, my gosh, did I actually sound like this? But you know what? It's because of that flower moon that happened. I'm not kidding. It was full moon, and I think it started yesterday, and they're calling it a flower moon.
Huh.
Right? Yeah. So, So none of us here in the Pacific Northwest, of course, could see it. Why? Because it's been gray for like a really long time, and I think the sun was trying to pop out, but you don't have to see it to appreciate it. You know, from an astrological perspective, they're calling it a lunar eclipse. They're calling it a flower moon. You know, they're representing the blooming of flowers, the rebirthing of life. And that's the meaning here for this. And it's really fascinating because anytime you say anything with the word Scorpio in it, people cringe. Now, certainly if that is your sign, you don't. But there's transformational life. There's an energy of this. And people are feeling it. You know, I've talked to more people, Benny, Jacob, I don't know if you guys know this, but I've talked to more people that describe this past week, not this coming week, but this past week as quite the disturbance. And I have a friend that even looked at this so closely with the whole Mercury now coming out of retrograde, you know, ancient traditions of shamanism that point to communications, literally that can focus on the energetic shift. And so when I was talking to my friend about 4 weeks ago, she said to me, something is going to happen at a national level with communication and you won't believe it. And I just thought, that hits every day, dude. Like, okay, that's not a prediction. That's like every day. Every day in the United States, there's something that comes on and it's like something. She said, no, something. Secrets will be revealed. Now, we now know that that is true, especially when we think about what is being revealed to us. But then there's the shift of energy. And when there's a shift of energy, are we prepared for it? You know, are we in the very core of who we are? Is our soul guiding the ship? Is there something that is within each and every one of us that helps us interpret, that helps us take action? And I got to tell you, almost every one of the hosts I've talked with, last week was this incredible week of stuff just piling up to be done with. Now, here's the question for our show today, and I want to introduce you to Daniel Mueller. The shamanic soul, what is it about the shamanic soul? What is it about this that we could learn? This is a guidebook, but this isn't just that. You know, this is written by practitioner of Peruvian shamanism, and Daniel teaches us shamanism through some very interesting methods, healing, spell work. But one of the things that we learn about the ancient and the modern is that there is a connection, right? It's like, why are people feeling the energy of things? Why are people looking at this flower moon, this eclipse? What is it we look for? But the question really is, are we really doing anything new? No. Because when we hear from Daniel and the fantastic book that he's written, we're going to go through this. I just love. There's so many things about this I love. What is it about us, our shamanic bodies, that could be almost like this guidepost, right? What is it about what we learn and bring forward? And is my greatest fear going to come to pass, or are the Daniels of the world going to help us? Are we going to lose this knowledge? Daniel, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Nice to see you, Dr. Pat.
Great to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
A lot of questions. I'm not going to throw them all at you at once, but when my friend said that to me like 4 weeks ago, I think it was like in April or something, I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, look, if you go back in time and you go back into ancient messaging. But if you can connect that to your soul, you can connect that to your soul journey, then, Pat, I guarantee you somewhere in May you will call me and you will say, dude, you got it right. Of course, she got to me first, and she was, what she was talking about is the whole Supreme Court leak, that. But the question I have for you is this. Look, you have done something that I've always longed to do. I didn't do it. I grew up with comic books. I wanted to create comic books. I didn't do it. You did it. Although I do have an animation comic, I do have characters that I'm drawing to educate people about Lyme disease. I want to ask you this question. There's so much I could say about you, but I have to know, how did you become you? What did you have to overcome to become you, to become the author of great books, bringing this message forward, getting Llewellyn to actually put pictures in the book? What did you have to get beyond, Daniel?
I had to get through a lot, personally. And so my book, Shamanic Soul, details some of that journey and some of the adversity that I had to overcome in order to kind of finally fit into my own shoes, to finally really become me and who I appreciate being as myself. And a lot of that really wasn't external adversity, although we oftentimes project it as that, but it was really just all internal stuff. You know, those regressions within the subconscious that kind of keep us and prevent us from moving forward and taking opportunities in life that are abundantly there. The universe is like open and wide, and there are so many different choices and pathways that we can take, and not every one of them are ideal. And sometimes the path that it takes to get you to where you want to go may not be ideal, but the more you can kind of, step aside from your fears, your insecurities, those aspects of yourself that, you know, will prevent you from being able to make movement, will prevent you from being able to transform and move beyond your current state, you know, it'll keep you there. So that's really essentially what I had to overcome, which is no easy feat, as a lot of people will attest in their own lives. And I mean, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and it was pretty severe. It impacted actually my physical health. It had me in the hospital multiple times, and I was, for a good decade or more.
Yeah. You and I have a lot of things in common, right?
Obviously, yes, we do.
We really do. It's crazy. But the reason I do this, I love this. I can't remember where in your book you say this. And for those of you just tuning in, I think Jacob's going to show you copies of the book, The Shamanic Soul. Something happening to me, think that at this point in time in my life, like, I'd be done, right? But when I get the honor of interviewing somebody like you, Daniel, and get to honor your work and your journey, and especially since my latest discovery, I still can't even make sense of this, to be honest with you. My grandfather being born in Brazil, the greatest secret of all time, but then the internet, so you can't hide from your relatives anymore because, like, they have your name, right? There's something that shifts in us. But the shamanic soul, I mean, honestly, when just saying it, the vibration, shamanic soul, is powerful. I am so afraid we're going to lose these teachings. How important is it for you to pass the baton and keep this going? And what is your experience, if you could, with the shamanic soul?
Well, in terms of the importance of these teachings, it's absolutely vital. The minute I entered my training with my maestro, I understood the importance of carrying this lineage forward that has been alive for thousands of years. And it's not really about my specific lineage. It's about all the core teachings of all of the earth-honoring traditions across the planet, which is it's not necessarily about replicating the ceremonies of the past, more so than honoring and recognizing, you know, what the past is trying to help us remember, which is, for me, what that shamanic soul is our direct connection with Pachamama, with Mother Earth, and not just her, but the soul of her. We are expressions of that world soul, that animus mundi, as the Greeks call it. We are vital, creative components of this planet that are here to have relationship with her, and when we do, we can tap into our own sort of soul walk, as I like to call it, our soul pathway, our ability to find our flow, I think is how I refer to it in the book, of what you're kind of here to do, as an expression of the world soul, as an expression of Pachamama herself. So I always like to remind people it's this isn't just a spiritual thing either. You know, biologically, like, you know, particle wise, we came out of the mother. We are literally physically her children, and to like honor that and recognize that. And for me, soul is like less of an esoteric spiritual concept and more of just what I like to relate it to is jazz or art. It's the ability for that human to tap into that connection and then just letting that energy flow, whether it's through dance, music, what you're doing here, Dr. Pat, you know, having conversations and us just reminding each other that we're all connected and we're all connected to this one organism and she's our mama, and let's start gearing things in a more positive direction. And have less division and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I love this. I love this conversation. That's why I had to get the backdrop for people to really understand, Daniel, from your perspective and the way you've written the book. You know, I'm a kid from the Bronx, New York, but somehow my grandfather, and I didn't know this when I was younger, my grandfather was a farmer in Brazil, greatest secret on the planet, to really hide that to have an entire family keep a secret that grandpa and papa's mama were born in Brazil in farming, and then change the name, and then change his ethnicity, change, like, he went from Brazilian to Italian, and he changed the letter at the end of an, it was just crazy. But when he came over, see, this is what I remember. This is really to your point. I got to spend time with Papa in the Bronx on a lot where he had used tires, and he had a shack. And in the shack, I could tell you the smell of the kerosene and the oil painting. And as you went out the back of the shack, rows and rows and rows, vegetables and herbs, and you could smell them. And what I love about this is, and I don't know if this is factual, so can you fact check me? I don't know of a culture in our origins that didn't start out with an absolute absorption to Pachamama, to absolute absorption to the earth. Now, Greta Thunberg is trying to help us remember, but why is it we forget that that is where we started, Daniel?
Yeah, I don't think that there is a culture, at least a spiritual tradition within the various civilizations across the planet that didn't have a shamanic root, that didn't have at its core basically a shamanic-like figure that had interaction with the unseen realms and came back to bring medicine to the people. It was what came after when people started institutionalizing that and whatnot. And I think that's where we are kind of forgetting. So if you're familiar with Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and whatnot, we have a Vogon mentality in our lives. And it's not that it's necessarily evil, but it can get there. But we have the ability to take this wonderful thing, like direct revelation from some spiritual experience,
mm-hmm.
and we try to begin to categorize it and to, distribute it through forms and through protocol and creeds and whatnot, and it becomes an established religion or a doctrine or even a book, right? You know, even a book, there can be some danger, and which is why in my book I try to undo a lot of what I created at the end to make room for the reader to just know and understand that, you know, not about having a teaching and a direct teaching and carrying it verbatim forward. It's about taking medicine from one generation to another and then passing it on to the next so mm-hmm. that they can kind of do it in their own way,
mm-hmm.
which is vitally important for the evolution and growth of the planet. You don't want stagnation by having a particular tradition just mm-hmm. acting the same way each, you don't grow and evolve and adapt, and you don't want that. So I do think that the act of forgetting, which is, you know, there's a lot of myths across various cultures about, you know, when a being, and I think the Greeks have, like, whenever you drink from the river of forgetfulness, whenever you come into incarnation. And so the way I was taught in my shamanic training, it's kind of like a game. It's not a bad thing we forget, because if we always remembered all the time that direct connection,
mm-hmm.
what fun would that be? The fun is trying to remember and trying to have that journey of reconnection again. And so when we talk a lot about evolutionary potential and in these transformational communities, it's always important to remember that, you know, if we ever got to an end state of like, you know, perfect alignment with source or creation, what my teacher taught me is if you got there, you would just want to go back to the beginning and be ignorant of everything again anyway, because it's the total
zodiac. It's the total astrology chart. It's the total, well, when you get to the 12th house, you're not like done. You don't like die.
Right.
Right? It's the evolution. But, you know, here's what I love about this is, and I want to talk to you about this, right out of the gate. There are many books that I've read in 20 years. And what I really find refreshing now is when I find a book like this one, where you take us at a very, anybody can learn this right from the beginning, the training part. And I looked at that training diagram you had and I thought, oh, 20 years of doing this, I had no idea that there was this dynamic in operation. But what I love about it is you're able to introduce this to us in so many ways. I especially loved, you know, the part, I think I'm stuck on trials and I think I have a little challenge thing today. But I love that you say here under the train, the hero faces a variety of challenges to prepare for the supreme ordeal, the final battle with the dragon, as it were. Trials along the way will test your metal, that's like not metal, and therefore increase your stamina. Overcoming these challenges will make you stronger and prepare you to face the future. You see, I have heard that message from my mom and my stepmom, and she was the queen of that, but not in this context. Can you talk to the supreme ordeal, please? it's almost like I'm watching the movie Eternals, right? Where they got like the supreme being. But now we're taking it down to our life, to our journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm paraphrasing and utilizing Joseph Campbell's monomyth paradigm, you know, as a kind of a relational connection to shamanic training in general and really just life. In general, and that's what Joseph Campbell was trying to do, is show through all of these myths and spiritual traditions throughout the planet how they all kind of have the same pattern to them, and they're all really about having that message to us in life, and that which is a cycle about going in and facing these travails, these tribulations, and learning from that, and then returning back to community with that with that gained wisdom. And so the supreme ordeal isn't necessarily like a person who has to go and climb a mountain and fight a dragon, or you have to go and face the corporate, you know, paradigm that you're trying to battle in your own personal, whatever it is. And maybe that is.
I did that already. I did
okay.
that one.
Well,
I did that in 1992. So, okay, can I check that off my list?
There you go. Then you're good. You're done. So, but the supreme ordeal is really just that always, because it's a cycle. Once you're done, you're starting over again. It's always that primary roadblock that is going to be in place for you, that's going to prevent you from keeping forward on that soul path of yours and that continued growth and evolution to make you a better you. So it can be anything. It can be your own internal thing. It could be a conditional situation in your life. So Dr. Jose Stevens relates that to your dragon. You know, there are many dragons that we face in our lives, and he's a transpersonal psychologist. I believe that might be his preferred title, where that's how he kind of describes what the supreme ordeal is too. And he's hearkening on myth as well, right?
Yeah.
And you're right to mention Eternals, because, I mean, we're surrounded by, you know, all of these types of mythologies, the superhero mythology, even sports, whatever, where we're constantly facing that next, you know, tournament, that next struggle, that next thing to get us to a better level. You know, and athletes are a great thing to look to this. Athletes don't play. You know, they don't just kind of tentatively show up, you know, and, you know, they're just like, well, I didn't put much effort to it. They train all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're always working towards that goal, and they have to get in almost a meditative state of mind in order to be in the zone whenever they're actually in the zone.
Mm.
And so the athlete is actually a great paradigm to study for people that are really interested in spiritual growth or psychological growth or whatever it is that you're trying to do in your life, because they are the perfect embodiment of discipline and hard work, practice, 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 and focus. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going to take a short break, but I want to just let everybody know a couple things. Daniel, first of all, tell people the Shamanic Soul, and it is a guidebook for self-exploration, healing, and mysticism. And when we come back from break, we're going to really take it to part two about this. But this is not the only book. You have a number of other books that you've done. Love the comic book thing, the whole thing. I've got like comic book envy. But how do people find out about you, and how did they get a copy of your book? Please tell folks.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can find me at my website, danielmullerweb.com, but you can find the Shamanic Soul at any book distributor, but we always prefer to point people back to the publisher,
yeah.
Llewellyn.com, and you pre-order directly from them. It's available for pre-order now, and it comes out June 8th.
Yeah, and again, that's Llewellyn, and for those of you out there, make sure. And I think, Jacob, you know, once you put the book up, you could also direct them to Llewellyn's website if you could. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, there's so much that I've pulled out of the book. By the way, I read the book, so that's why I'm referencing the book.
I appreciate it.
But we have a current theme that we're launching this year. Fascinating to me for our crowdfunding and our expansion. And when I used the term, some people cringed. But then I saw it in the book, and I thought, I'm not changing it. He's right. He's got this nailed down. What is the phrase that Daniel uses in the book when he is like even talking about the shamanic body? What is he saying? And why is the language so strong? Let's take a short break. Benny, Jacob, we'll be right back, everybody.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in enlightened environments Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the diamond dowsing method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transformation Talk Radio.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabeltz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
I can't even be, I don't even know. I'm going to have Daniel come back to talk about some of these other things, especially the psychonaut. But today we're talking about the shamanic soul. Daniel, before we continue, one more time, please direct people. And then Jacob, maybe you can put something up on the video part to get people over to Llewellyn. How do they get the book? But also there's so many other things you're involved in. How do they find that out about you?
Yep, find me at danielmullerweb.com. You can find me there and all my fun stuff and links to my social media profiles. And then Llewellyn.com, you can get pre-order my book of the June 8th.
By the way, it's like the funnest thing. So if you go over to a site, I want you all to go over and just click on the sessions button just for the heck of it. This is so very cool, right? To take a look at the diversity, but also the imagination, and that imagination that comes from, you know, our unlimited possibilities to dream, and dreaming, by the way, was such a part. Look, before the break, I referenced a phrase in your book, and it's a phrase that I've actually gotten a little bit of feedback, but I'm staying true to myself. I actually have a show that's called Power Up with Dr. Pat. But I had to do a double take back in the book, because right here in the shamanic body, you say taking the power back. And I thought, oh, my gosh, is that why we feel lost? Is that why we feel like we're disconnected? Is that why tell me about that, and tell me about how this one part of the book sets the stage for everything else to come.
Yeah.
Almost so, everything, maybe.
Yeah. A very prominent curandero from the lineage I was trained in a few generations back, Don Eduardo Calderon from Peru, said that the main pivot of shamanism is about power and one's own personal power. And if you've read some, you know, different accounts from indigenous, you know, individuals that are, you know, working in that shamanic context, it's all about that, about having the necessary power to do the work necessary. And I really kind of relate that to a personal context of one's own power. And I kind of in the book walk through a few necessary items that individuals, you know, really should have as a core foundation before continuing forward, which is, you know, ensuring that, you know, you honor and recognize all knowledge, individuality, being able to be variable with life and not just be tied down to one specific thought form or way of living, focus, balance. You know, these are just some of the main pillars that one needs into this house of power, really, that you need to have as the kind of framework before moving forward. Because if you don't have this, if you don't have that personal power, you know, everything will shatter. And your whatever change you're trying to implement won't hold and won't stay. So you mm-hmm. have to be clear. You have to be focused and balanced and have certain aspects of your life together and be ready to hold and contain that. And a lot of people are afraid of that. A lot of people are afraid of having their own personal power. And we don't realize whether it's from a familial context or a societal context. I mean, just even look at social media, whatever. We give our power away all the time. We give our information away. We give, our self-esteem away to every ad that comes our way on the TV or on Facebook or whatever. We give it all. It's like a continual reminder of replenishing oneself and making sure that you know that for yourself. I mean, you're not the center of the universe because the universe is bigger than that. But for you and your perspective, you are the center. And it's okay to treat yourself and honor yourself in that way and give yourself a foundation to stand on, because you wouldn't have the context of understanding reality and interacting with reality without the strong core mm-hmm. that exists here within oneself.
I love this for so many ways, and I would love for you to talk about this, because even when you're talking, when you're going through the process, you're talking about, you talk about return to power. Thank you for using that word. I want to really talk to you about a couple of other things. You know, everything that we know seems to be, I don't know how to say this better, but we are now in a pop culture, and I don't even want to call it that, but let's just say we're in a modern culture that is just so revering so many of the energies that you address here. And what am I talking about? Everything from Doctor Strange and the multiverse madness, right, and some of the things that come forth there, to now going back and honoring and respecting the elders, right? You see, most of the cultures that I think you and I are familiar with, when you're looking at the elder body, they are it. They're going to tell you whether you're going to plant that potato or you're not going to plant the potato, right? Right. But when you take us on the journey in the book, I was really struck by getting to the place of the cosmos and consciousness. Sometimes we feel like we're not on a parallel trajectory, a harmonious trajectory. Somehow we feel like we're on this dynamic, the moon is going to hit the earth's trajectory. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to talk about this a minute, because the cosmos and the consciousness, they seem like they're separate, but are they?
No, that's part of the illusion that we have and that forgetfulness that you and I were talking about earlier. And we do have this interesting way in society of kind of constructing civilization around us as a way to denote a sort of separation that exists. And so in my shamanic training, some of the first, you know, ordeals that I was put through was about breaking that down. So you don't see that differentiation. So you understand that in terms of the cosmos, you are the fount of creation. Creation doesn't just happen as this separate mechanism, or even, oh, it just only happens out in nature, in the woods, or out in the stars. This is it. Like what we're doing right now, you and I, with the electronics, everything, like this is the fount of creation. This is the forefront of it right here. And that's kind of essential to actually understanding the power dynamics that are at play within shamanic healing, shamanic ritual, and ceremony. So having not just an understanding of that or an intellectual understanding, shamanic training tries to put you through ordeals so that you have that as a felt experience. You live it and you breathe it, and it's not a circumstance that's under question, really, because you're experiencing every moment.
Yeah. One of the things that I love talking about, you bring us on this journey in the book, Daniel. We go through this. But I am so glad that you kind of kicked it out by talking about magic. Hello, right? There's never been, somebody asked me what I thought the greatest comeback of our century has been. People ask me the oddest questions, and it depends on the day. But I remember this was a couple of years ago, and I said, oh, by far, that's easy. The greatest comeback of the century is magic. And they looked at me and they said, what are you talking about? And this was at the Harry Potter time, right?
Yep.
And I said, think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, think about something that was so, like, not okay, now just being revered in such an interesting way. But magic and just that word, all of this is on a path to healing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we'd be alive as a humans if people did not have these practices. I mean, what would they have done? They couldn't have gone to the pharmacy.
Right.
What is your thought?
Yeah, it's important to understand what magic is. My publisher made me expand that chapter a little bit because my original plan was just to have one page just saying, you know what magic is. Move on.
Yeah, no.
Like, everybody should know what magic is. If you were a child, you knew what magic was. Everybody's experienced Christmas. Everybody's experienced, and it's not just like this feeling, though. Magic is the ability to change reality in accordance with one's will. And so that can come in a variety of ways. But it's just this magic is just as simple as watching a movie or reading a book. Your reality gets changed. You know, you come out of a movie going, whoa, that blew my mind. That's magic. If you can't read a book and your mind was changed about something, you've seen reality in a whole new way. So it's, and I'm not trying to demean magic in any way, shape, or form, because I've seen and experienced some crazy stuff that you would only probably see in Doctor Strange or Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So that exists. But we also have to understand that magic just happens at so many levels, and a recognition of the variability of how magic manifests in our daily lives is very important and essential, because oftentimes it will really just only manifest as that. And if we just recognize that, we see magic everywhere. Every day becomes Christmas in that regard. So it's very important for healing, because you have to change. It's like alchemy. It's transmuting lead into gold. It's transmuting this, you know, very dense, sick person, plagued with mind stuff or physical stuff, and transmuting that into something that can grow and evolve out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, all of the ceremonies that I were involved in, they were all magic based, to get me to the place where I am today.
So there's a chapter in the book, right, that I I've never heard anybody talk about this. And, you know, because I'm a little bit learning different, I have a little difficulty sometimes with words. So when I first looked at it and looked at shamanic report, which that's not what it is.
Yep.
I thought, whoa, wait a minute. This was so fascinating to see this in the book. And I wanted to take a minute for you to talk about it because you use language here, bringing it all together, right? There's something about this particular part of your writing and part of the book that is usually not included.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about this? Because it's almost like you're creating a tapestry, but this is kind of the thread. Can you talk to it? And it's not report.
Yeah, shamanic rapport. yeah, and you're right. I've read some other books, and I don't ever see this aspect brought up a lot. I have in some cases, but this was actually one of the core tenets of my training. And if you didn't have this as a vital component from the beginning, with every ceremony, with every exercise, then you're lost. And it's about understanding, you know, a lot of this manifests as giving offerings to the spirits, giving offerings to the land, giving, you know, and it's more about giving offerings like, okay, let's, you know, give up our harvest and blah, da, 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 da. It's about creating a gift of communication to the invisible architects that exist around us all the time so that we can exist in cooperation with them. So we can exist in a participatory experience rather than us just taking from the environment and taking energy from, you know, whatever. So I always relate this back to just having a relationship with my wife, right? If I'm in a relationship with my wife, I don't just take from her from what I want and treat her as I want and only just, you know, get what I need in order to make myself, you know, happier. I have to give back. I have to give her love back. I have to give her flowers. I have to give her foot massages, you know, all the things that she needs. And just so being a shamanic practitioner is about having a relationship with the spirits of the natural world. And we have to have that same kind of relationship. It's not about them being necessarily better than us or us being better than them. It's about having this like mode of communication. And so, you know, various shamanic lineages across the planet, and I would definitely point out the Quechua peoples of Peru have a very sophisticated system of offerings that are very much in alignment with the spirits of the land around them. The spirits understand the types of offerings that are given in the way that they're given. And it's not just about, hey, throwing some tobacco on the ground or burning some sage.
No.
It's about making a whole pristine ritual surrounding that in the same way that you would write a letter or a card to your loved one.
Yeah.
Petitioning and asking for what you're asking for assistance with and showing the expression of love in that as well. So when we do ceremony locally in our community and my wife and I, great time and care is given to that aspect of the offering of the haiwa, as we call it, the gift back to Pachamama and the spirits around us, because it's you wouldn't want to be frivolous with giving a gift to someone you love, you know, and especially if you're asking for something really important and asking for that assistance. So I don't know if that's the thread you were necessarily
asking. Yeah, it's absolutely. There's no question about it, because the reason I wanted to ask you about it, because, you know, as we move forward and we really bring this full circle, we're talking about the shamanic soul, shamanic healing. And one of the things we have to remember is that that everything in life is an exchange. See, we don't really get that. You know, I happened to study exchange theory in school because I needed to understand it. For my own personal being, but everything is an exchange, right? You know, we take air in, we bring air out. But you're so right. The first time, my introduction into giving back came in a strange way. Even before my first vision quest, and it had to do on the island of Hawaii. Mm. And it had to do with something I did that I didn't understand. And then I was schooled in the ritual for Madame Pele, you know, a bottle of gin. Like, I mean, honestly, I was literally, and what I learned about that, and when I learned about the care that you're discussing and talking about, it's hard to describe the energy that passes through you.
Yep. Yeah, there, you know, there's definitely, we have what we designate as wakas that exist throughout the planet, which are various sacred sites that have a certain type of energy around them.
Yeah.
And they respond to different things in different ways. It's their language, right, for understanding. So in Peru, we can create a haiwa called a despacho, which is a very specific type of offering that the mountain spirits there understand.
Yep.
There are certain areas here in North America, and we've tried it before, creating that same type of despacho, and they're like, uh-uh.
No.
No. And sometimes they'll even outright reject it and show ways of rejecting it right then and there. You have to learn what the spirits of that area that you live on, what they understand and what they can assimilate as information to them. And it's like, and you mentioned gin, and I was reminded of when I went and did offerings to the grave of Marie Laveau at in New Orleans, cigars and whiskey, and it's like it's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
But when you give it in that way, the type of energy that comes in is way different. It's like a key fitting into the right lock.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that energy opens, and it's very interesting.
It's fascinating. And, you know, part of this brings us to understanding that this is all in service of something so powerful. And I think that, you know, what you bring us to in the book is healing. And I love that we use that word. I mean, not just individually, but of course, yes. But there are many, many, many energies that can be healed. And I love that you pointed that out, because my vision questing in the high desert of California in the Sierras, very different ritual, you know, very different. Like, you're down to 3 tablespoons of water.
Yep.
And you... and you're thinking, this is something I'm not going to give you. And you're like, dearly mistaken about that. Mm. But you're right. Let's have a conversation about taking our healing power back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Healing in some regards can, you know, as a word that people don't, you know, they will just look at it from a medical context or, and I don't want to eliminate that either, because I actually had medical healing, but it's really, I always just see it as a word. It's another word for evolution, for change, but it's very specifically tied to a state of misalignment that is getting aligned.
Yeah.
Getting yourself back into balance, getting yourself back into focus. So kind of turning something that's from a negative into a positive, knowing that there's going to be another inverse, another negative that you're going to have to turn, because it's a cycle again. But that's kind of what we are just here to do. If people would actually focus more, not on what's going on outside of themselves and trying to change the external world, not that we shouldn't try to implement external change. I'm not saying that. But oftentimes people focus so much on that, and then they become drained, and they don't find a way to actually have relationship with themselves first as a foundation, heal yourself, and then start having that interaction with the outside world. That's the way it worked for me personally in my own relationships. Yeah. My relationships were falling apart around me, and it wasn't until like my maestro told me, like, you have to fix yourself before anything.
Yeah.
Nothing else is going to get fixed, and you can leave that situation and go into another, and it's still going to fall apart.
Yeah.
You have to fix yourself regardless.
that's why I love when you bring us right back, though, to this idea of the shamanic soul. And you even go as far as to talk about Practicum 22, Vision Quest. Now, I don't want to spend any time talking about how I got to be on my first Vision Quest, but nothing more powerful had ever happened to me in my life. And there were no words for it. You know, I came back looking like every bug in the high desert had a feast on my body, but I was changed. This is the introspection that you're talking about, I believe. And I think later on in the book, you really talk about the soul within, see? Because you bring us back there,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. I actually had some reservations about talking about Vision Quest and doing Vision Quest, because it's definitely not an experience that I just want to throw people out there and, yeah, go on. But it's definitely something, and I try to clarify that in the book, that's really something that you want to have some strong tutelage with.
Yes.
You want to have someone guiding you into it that has had experience in this sort of thing, and
yep,
and that will know that you're doing it. And it's something that you want to work up to. It's not like, okay, cool, I got the weekend free.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's definitely something that is kind of a closing of one chapter and, you know, opening up another in your life, because you want to create conditions to where it's just you and the universe and nothing else.
And you have to be energetically prepared.
Totally.
And what I mean by that is, first of all, I don't ever recommend doing anything like this at the level you and I are talking about without people that really know what they're doing. So that's number one.
Yep.
But more importantly, when the door opens, 9 times out of 10, there's a reason for you to look at walking through it. And, you know, what you've been able to do and share with us today is the many, many different places for anyone to start. See, what you've provided with is, as you said, it is a guide. And people can start where they are. Daniel, thank you for this today. Again, please give out your website. And I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with today.
Oh, well, my personal message is really, truly, truly just be true to your core and who you are, everyone. That shamanic soul is really just about you and not you trying to be like anyone else ever. It's just the individual that who you are is the most important thing that the planet and the cosmos needs. But yeah, you can find me at danielmullerweb.com. And all of my social media leaks and all the fun I have over there. And you can pick up my book at Llewellyn.com. Comes out June 8th.
Yeah. We got to jump on it, everybody. But so please go ahead. It's really the shamanic soul. Go to Daniel's site. You'll be able to see it. Go to Llewellyn. I think Jacob's put some information up there. This isn't the only book you've written. So there are other books on your website. There are other ways for people to engage with you. And thank you for keeping this real. Thank you for bringing down to a level that, you know, people can understand and say, wait a minute, it's not this thing that only 1% can do. Thank you for doing that, right?
Yeah, my pleasure.
Keep those comics coming, okay?
Oh, absolutely. All right.
All right. Betty, Jacob, let's take a short break. Daniel, amazing book. I am even now thinking it's time. It is time for me to really look for and seek out a Vision Quest for this year. Let's take a short break, everybody. I'll be right back.